This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom Hour, connecting the dots and waking you up to what they mean. I have a little item of music that I think, with Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash, and I think it'll set things off right about some things that happened in the town this past week.
His mother, a young cowboy named Billy Joe, grew restless on the farm. A boy filled with wanderlust who really meant no harm. He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down. And his mother cried as he walked out, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." Laughed and kissed his mom and said, "Your Billy Joe's a man. I can shoot as quick and straight as anybody can. But I wouldn't shoot without a cause. I'd gun nobody down." But she cried again as he rolled away. "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." Sang a song as on he rode, his guns hung at his hips. He rode into a cattle town, a smile upon his lips. He stopped and walked into a bar and laid his money down. And his mother's words echoed again, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." Drank his first strong liquor then to calm his shaking hand, and tried to tell himself at last he had become a man. A dusty cowpoke at his side began to laugh him down, and his mother's words echoed again, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." Gun to draw, but the stranger drew his gun and fired before he even saw. As Billy Joe fell to the floor, the crowd all gathered round, and they wondered at his final words.
Hello, this is Dick Paddock with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom Hour. I'm your engineer and co-host today, along with
Lori Hoyt, and I'm co-host too. And we have a guest we're very happy to have with us today, and it's a very special guest, Vivian Sansour, who's here from Palestine, and she is visiting this area. And we're just so lucky that she had some time for our radio show. We're really pleased and happy to have you here. Vivian is with the Palestinian Fair Trade, the Canaan Fair Trade Association, and she's here to let us know about it, to promote what they're doing. And so we've got a lot to find out about in our time together. Vivian Thompson, one of our Wolf Sisters, is also here, and we'll be doing some co-hosting a little later in the program. And we're also very happy to have one of our dear old friends, not old in age, but in time, Mary Lou Smith.
Sure, Lizer Smith.
Lizer Smith.
Right.
Who is here, you're the host for Vivian Sansour?
Yes, the Coalition for Peace with Justice,
okay,
which is the organization that I coordinate, is putting together a, a tour in the Triangle for Vivian this trip, and actually we hope that she will return. And there are several different events. There's an event this evening at Balance.
Pencil and paper. Announcement's coming.
at Balance and Accuracy in Journalism at the Community Church in Chapel Hill on Purifoy Road.
And that's at 7:30.
That's at 7:30. And then on the weekend, we have her featured at the Alternative Gift Fair. And that market, that alternative market, is at the United Church of Chapel Hill on MLK Boulevard. And it it runs on Saturday morning from 9 to 2, and on Sunday morning.
And so this would be perfect. Vivian can showcase some of the wonderful products from Palestine.
And taste them.
And taste them.
Yes.
And they'll make wonderful gifts. So, Vivian, again, welcome. And can you tell us something about your, it's a co-op, right? Palestinian co-op?
I work for a company. It's a socially responsible company.
Good.
It's a private company. And we operate as an exporter for products that are produced by 49 cooperatives in Palestine.
49, wow.
Yes. So we actually work with what is called the Palestine Fair Trade Association very closely. The Palestine Fair Trade Association is an association of, like I said, 49 cooperatives from different villages in the districts of Jenin, Salfit, and Nablus. We work with 1,700 farmers, and there is a big focus, obviously, on being fair trade. It's the Palestine Fair Trade Association, and this association operates as the umbrella organization that that holds all these co-ops. Each co-op votes for, they elect a representative for themselves in the association, and then in a general assembly, the general assembly elects a board, and the board from there are committees that decide, for example, on the price of olive oil for each year. We have different programs that the association decides and does and all of that. But at Kanaan, we operate as, like I said, the socially responsible business where we buy products. We are committed to buying products from these cooperatives and finding market for them around the world.
And you mentioned olive oil, so that's one of your main products, I think.
Olive oil is our main product because we work with olive oil farmers. Olive farmers and olive oil farmers. It'd be easier if we just farm the olive oil.
No, the olive oil does not grow on trees. No. It's not like getting maple syrup. So you get the olives and then...
We get the olives,
And then they press them.
We actually do buy ready olive oil from farmers, unless the farmers do press in our press. But because of distances, many farmers... press in their own local presses, but we do have internal control system and for, you know, making sure it's organic process and all of that. And the farmers are amazing, and they're very committed to not only producing very good product but a healthy product for they're very proud that it is all over the world, and it has the name Palestine on it, representing them and asserting their identity. So, but we actually do have other products such as sun-dried tomatoes, za'atar, which is the thyme herb that we eat with olive oil in Palestine. It's our version of peanut butter and jelly.
So what is it called again?
It's called za'atar.
Za'atar?
Yes, it's a thyme herb, and it is crushed with sesame seeds and wild sumac and olive oil, and actually
made into like a paste.
It's made into it's not a paste, exactly. It's dry.
It's dry. It's and then when you mix it with the olive oil, it can become a paste.
It's like a spice.
Like a spice. Oh, that sounds lovely.
So, and we make soap. But these products, for example, the sun-dried tomatoes, we use heirloom tomatoes. Maftoul, which is a kind of Palestinian version of couscous. It's made from whole wheat, organic whole wheat, and it's hand-rolled by the women cooperatives. So we actually have 9 women cooperatives that we work with, and they are the ones who produce these products that I just mentioned. So including also soap that we make from olive oil that is made locally by the Birqin Women Cooperative.
That's lovely, and I understand that tonight at Balance and Accuracy in Journalism, I think there's going to be a tasting.
Yes.
Yeah. And I told Jerry he ought to highlight that. That a lot of times it's that little something gets people off their duff and out the door and coming to the meeting. So how long have you been working with them, Vivian?
I have been working officially for Canaan Fairtrade for 2 years. I have obviously been very involved in agriculture as also a form of resistance for us in Palestine. As many of you know, we have a lot of challenges living under occupation and mainly with the uprooting of many olive trees.
Every time I see that, it is heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking, these old beautiful trees. But it sounds like there's still at least some left in order to...
Well, not only are there some left, I mean, our story in a lot of ways is a very hopeful story, but it's not to negate what is also really happening on the ground, and that is that many of the farmers in Palestine are suffering from whether it's the uprooting of their trees directly or from being deprived from accessing their own lands or from, and most importantly, from not being able to access water. And this
I was just thinking, I bet water is a major issue.
Yes, yeah, so in terms of olive trees, the olive tree, as you may already know, is a very important tree in our, not just our cultural identity, but for our survival. And this is something that we have depended on for centuries.
Centuries,
And many of these trees, actually some of the olive oil that we sell is called Rumi olive oil because these trees are so old from Roman times. And
I've had Palestinian olive oil, and it's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, and I look forward while you're here to getting some more. Yeah.
So yeah, the uprooting of a tree is very significant and horrible for the farmers because many of the farmers, for example, say that when an olive tree is uprooted, it's like they feel one of their children is being killed or buried. Yeah. I just recently visited a farmer in a village called Anin, and in this village, the wall has basically cut through people's lands in the middle. And this farmer has actually lost almost all his trees, and he had over 300 Roman trees. And the army came and just uprooted some of them and then built the wall and said, you can't get to your groves anymore. But the hopeful story and what we're trying to do, we are perseverant people. And our mantra at Canaan Fairtrade is actually that we are insisting on life. And that's why one of the programs we are very dedicated to and we work on with the Palestine Fairtrade Association is called the Trees for Life program. And this program is a program where a percentage of the oil you buy goes, the proceeds from the oil you buy, goes to buying saplings to plant where olive trees are uprooted. So we target mostly young families, couples that are just starting out, women, and people whose lands are impacted by the apartheid wall.
And if I could just mention, from the Triangle, we have folks going to help plant those olive trees, and that's going to take place in February. So,
that's wonderful.
We are combining folks actually from California as well. It's open across the nation, but we're still have a few openings. So, if you feel like you want to be a part of empowering and engaging in the struggle there, empowering others.
So I hope our listeners are paying attention.
This is a wonderful opportunity.
Yes, and that was on my next theme.
So the information is on the website, and it's www.peace-with-justice.org.
Okay, say that again. So Dick warned everybody to have their pen and pencil.
If you Google Coalition for Peace with Justice, I think you'll get
it. That might be the easiest.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a wonderful opportunity to go and see for oneself what's happening in Palestine. And I think it's like wonderful educational, and it sounds like a wonderful opportunity to do good and to have some fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, have some fun, for
sure. Yeah, that's important, too.
So we do have in the plan also the idea of visiting Canaan Fair Trade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the
And for
itinerary.
Listeners, I want to say, when I first heard Canaan, I couldn't visualize that. I'm a visual person, and it's what I would have called Canaan. But
that's the idea, isn't it? From the land of...
Right, when people come, and hopefully when Mary Lou and her group will come, we give tours to people in our facility where we press the olive oil and everything, and then we take them to the field where we think that's where... The original press was, and that's because we trace our ancestors in Palestine to the Canaanites, and the Canaanites have always pressed the olives actually in the field, in the stones actually, in the rocks, and there are places where you hike in Palestine and you can see there are holes, they're like little wells that they carved into the earth, into the rocks, and made into storage for olive oil.
Oh my goodness.
So that's why we are called Canaan Fair Trade, because
from the original Canaanites that everybody's familiar with.
And they use the Palestinian pronunciation,
which is Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we hope, you know, with that we are also not just regenerating our soil, we are also regenerating our own sense of self, our own sense of identity, and our community.
Yeah, wonderful.
And our ancestors, obviously.
And I talked to Jerry Marcatus, who will be hosting you tonight, and he told me that at one point you had worked with the Zapatistas.
I would love to work with the Zapatistas. No, I do have some friends who actually work. They are fair trade. What do you call it? The traders.
Yeah.
But and they work very closely with the Zapatistas. But what we are doing something very exciting. It's called Higher Grounds, and they are based in Michigan. This company, and they do work with the Zapatistas very closely. So what we're working together with Higher Grounds, who also buy Palestinian olive oil from us. We are working with them on a project called the Run Across Palestine. It's fair trade companies from the U.S., such as Higher Grounds and Food for Thought. They are organic and fair trade producer companies. And we are doing a run, a marathon, that will start from the south in the village of Tuani, that has been under severe attack from settlers, all the way up to Jenin. And we're going to run and stop in each village. We're going to stop in five villages. There will be five stops. But runners from the United States will be coming to Palestine in February to run this long marathon in support and of the Palestinian farmers, and also to raise awareness that in each village we will stop, we will highlight the struggle of the village, and we will also plant trees and give trees as part of the Trees for Life program.
That's wonderful. I know that's something Miriam, when she comes on, is going to want to talk about some of these new resistance.
Sorry, but the link to the Zapatistas in all of this.
Oh, that's right. They're coming.
Is that one of the things that we really want to do, and we really hope that our effort in this idea of fair trade, and is that it's beyond just creating better economic conditions, mm-hmm. but it's also about connecting our struggles together. And so the struggles of farmers, of producers everywhere, not just in Palestine, is the same in a lot of ways. So we have talked about the Zapatistas possibly sending something symbolic from their products to Palestine mm-hmm. when we are doing this run, mm-hmm. Whether we're not sure what it might be. It might be corn, because one of the challenges that some of the farmers have in Palestine is that they have no longer access to grazing land, mm-hmm. so they depend on having animal feed. So as a symbolic gesture that mm-hmm. we would get some corn or something mm-hmm. That the Zapatistas would send to Palestinian farmers in solidarity, and farmers also in the Midwest here mm-hmm. in the United States, because mm-hmm. as we all know, farmers even in the United States also struggle a lot mm-hmm. because they have been under so much pressure, and they've suffered from the impact of big agribusiness. So the idea is that we are working with farm communities from places like Wisconsin mm-hmm. and Minnesota that may be also that they will send symbolically some animal feed, just a little bit, just it's a mm-hmm. symbolic action to say all of us, we are united under the same struggle, and we are all part of the same green movement, the same movement mm-hmm. to create communities that are locally focused and eat what they grow.
Sustainable.
That's the word.
That's wonderful. My one of my daughters has just graduated from taking the course. It's quite a famous course here in Pittsburgh on sustainable agriculture. So, that's something that's dear to my heart too. And you're right. Even in a country as rich as this, small farmers are in such a struggle to be able to make a living, and I'm sure in many places there's also, especially in the Midwest, the whole issues with water, which we won't go into our country's issues, but you're right, this is a very connected.
I mean, an Occupy Wall Street that I think you're preparing to talk about soon is
well,
also
sort of
connected.
At the end, just Dick will do a little update. We usually do some announcements. That's been something we've been very interested in here. And in fact, Miriam and I and Dick were having a vigil every Wednesday in solidarity with the Occupy Chapel Hill people. And the Raging Grannies have been singing every Wednesday. That's an international mm-hmm. group of older women who sing songs that are old-timey music, easy to sing, but very sharp satirical lyrics. Mm-hmm. But that's another story, too. But all of these are connected. All of these stories are connected with all of our struggles and ways to get the word out about justice, about what's fair, all of this, and that's why we call our program Connecting the Dots, because everything, peace, farming, all of it, is connected.
I'd like to suggest, too, that Vivian talk a little bit about the difficulties of getting the olive oil and the products mm-hmm.
yes.
out of Palestine,
yes.
because that's an incredible aspect of the occupation and the control on the Palestinian economy.
So not just growing it, not just getting water, not just protecting your olive trees from encroachment, but then getting it out. So tell us about that part of the struggle, Vivian.
Well, as exporters of olive oil, we have to go through a lot of logistical hoops and So we are not we're not prevented from exporting, but we are we have different penalties that we have to kind of pay extra for our exports. So, for example, we pay $1,000 more than, for example, an Israeli exporter just to per container for us to export. But the main challenge for us is that we have to, as many of you know, the situation is that we live under a segregated a system, and so
you live under an occupation,
right? So, for example, our cars cannot drive on Jewish only roads, so we have to actually load our truck and then arrange for a truck from Nazareth that has a yellow license plate to come and meet us at the checkpoint, and then we have to unload our truck again, load it into their truck after it's been inspected, and then it goes to Haifa, where it has to go through a lot of security checks, and then finally, the final step, we're forced to hire an Israeli company that does the very final packaging, not of the bottles or anything, but the big, huge container packaging that goes on the ship. So it's expensive. It's logistically expensive. It's logistically also very difficult. And actually, I don't know the bureaucratic details that my colleagues go through, but I know they have a headache from it. But I also we have actually more difficulty importing than exporting, as well. So.
So you can't go into the, you don't know enough about the specifics.
I don't know about enough the specifics, but...
you know, it's
But it's quite a complicated ordeal. Only the fact that we pay $1,000 more just for being Palestinian.
Just even that fact alone.
Yeah, per container.
Let alone having to unload at a checkpoint and reload.
And sometimes we also have to consider the fact that our trucks get held up. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that, for example, we wanted to explore is exporting, for example, tomatoes or fresh vegetables or fresh, let's say, herbs. For example, when I'm in Europe, a lot of people and a lot of stores carry what they call Israeli sage, which is obviously Palestinian sage, but the Israelis take it and they export it. And I say, well, why do you carry Israeli sage? And they say, well, we don't have an alternative. Mm-hmm. So the problem is that we actually can't. It would be a very high risk if we actually decide that we're going to start shipping sage, because our products can get held up at a checkpoint and can be
deteriorated in the putting in the sun.
Right. So we can't really, unless it's... So that's why olive oil is something that, you know, we can export. Sun-dried tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's not risky in the sense that if it's held up, we're probably going to be okay.
Yeah, so that puts limitations
on also what we can export. Obviously, our farmers produce a lot of, they have abundance in what they can produce. They are hardworking farmers. And also, actually, in Palestine, we're very lucky that we still have one of the most important pillars of sustainable agriculture, which is crop diversification. And yet we cannot really export all their crops. We can't because of these challenges.
Yeah.
But again, we are working on always finding creative solutions. And so one of the things we have started doing is, for example, producing cherry jams and preserves and things like that. And that allows us to work with farmers not just in the olive season or in tomato season or in wheat season, but also maybe in like cherry season. And that also supports the continuation of this crop diversification. And crop diversification is important not just, agriculturally, but it also means that the farmer is not dependent on one crop, mm-hmm. And thus dependent on one trader or one...
And that's a great idea, Vivian, because just like the sun-dried tomatoes, you can also make like tomato chutneys. I mean, there's things that you can make, because that's things that they're talking about
great,
here.
Tapenades, different spreads.
That are you know, the more that it goes through some kind of a creative process like that, like a tapenade or a jam or, you know, it makes it more possible for you to export it.
And they're also delicious products, and they're actually delicacy foods. One of the products that we just started making that I love very much is, for example, honey olive spread, and it's quite delicious, and it's very healthy, and also sun-dried tomatoes and capers. And we're very happy because most recently William Sonoma started to carry our maftoul, which is our couscous, Palestinian version of couscous.
Oh, that's a prestigious company.
And it's available in all William Sonomas.
And we have a lot of Whole Foods stores here, and they carry it.
The Whole Foods carry it? The Whole Foods carry olive oil.
They carry
Whole Foods across the United States also carries Canaan Fair Trade olive oil. It is under the label Alter Eco, like Alter Ego, but it's Alter Eco.
Okay.
And it does say Canaan on it. And it's available at all Whole Foods.
Well, we'll have to get it into Weaver Street Market, which is a co-op here. I'm going to have to say goodbye. Miriam Thompson is going to be here finishing up the interview. Vivian, I just love meeting you.
Thank you so much.
And what you're doing, it's very exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I wish you great success in your work.
We're going to have a station break now. We need to talk about our underwriters. Internationalist Bookstore on 405 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, with magazines of a different style. Books that you don't find on the rack at Barnes & Noble, and the ever-popular bumper stickers that are unmatched in Chapel Hill. And this is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom Hour, that we call Connect the Dots. We're laying some dots down, and we'll connect them up a little bit later on this afternoon. Triangle Wilf has a website at triangle.wilpf.org, where you can find the old radio shows archived, and find out about the other activities that Triangle Wilf is involved in. And this is WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Your 103.5 radio station, or your internet stream from the WCOM website. And the WCOM website is wcomfm.org. And there's a button about midway up the left-hand side of the screen. When you log in with your computer, or when you connect with your computer, you don't have to log in. And you click on the Listen Live button, and you'll hear whatever is going out on the air, which at the moment is our show. So I'm going to turn it over to Miriam Thompson and let the interview continue.
I'd like Vivian and Mary Lou to really address the political underpinnings of this conversation. I think it's important to, of course, emphasize, and you can mention again, United Church of Chapel Hill and where we can buy the products to support the Palestinian farmers. Many of our work locally is supporting local farmers against what you described as agribusiness. That is the corporate face. We talked about Occupy, but that's part of the message that young people and intergenerational are really fighting all over the world. But something absolutely, and I saw Mary Lou clench as well, Canaan is a place where refugees from Egypt gathered, where Israelis as we come upon the holiday of Passover, as well as the ancient role of Palestinians. You describe these ancient wells. People don't realize that many refugees settled. It's a place where both combined, and so now to have an occupation is really, so for me, especially as a Jew, it's just terrifying. And then the second thing, when I hear of these yellow, did you say yellow license plates?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you remember what the Jews had to wear in Germany as they were on their way to the concentration camps? They wore yellow stars of David. So to have this come forward is just, for me, a tragic, tragic irony. Keep that in mind as to why we're working together to really bring, which leads to my next question, Palestinians and other solidarity activists. But I specifically wanted you to talk about there's a great film that Mary Lou has shown, the Boudreaux film, in which resistance, nonviolent resistance, yeah, was a strategy really struggled over, and that's the same struggle we're having right here in some of our Occupy conversations right here. But joining them were Israeli Jews. And I just wondered what Israeli Jews were supporting you. You mentioned that are working with you to fight the wall, for example, separating the olive groves, are challenging the olive, the destruction, the deliberate, systematic destruction of the olive groves. I mean, it's miraculous that you're able, even with the extraordinary taxes that you're forced to pay to export your products, but what other, in addition to these Zapatistas, what's happening on the ground in Israel to support your efforts? And what can we do, including some of us are having a boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign meeting this Sunday. What can we do to say, you either carry Palestinian products or we're going to boycott Israeli dates or whatever? And that, you know, that might be really very powerful.
There is a link, and very often people say, well, you know, how can we support the Palestinian economy? And this is a great example. And the fact that the products are a little more expensive than you might get olive oil from Italy or so, but when you know the full story, you want to pay the extra few dollars to be in solidarity and to support the sustainability of farming and farmers in the area. So.
Yeah, and there's no reason that local farmers in both Israel and Palestine can't work, as opposed to denying the Palestinians the right to really compete and export. But.
Mm-hmm. you said a lot of things, and I'm not sure where to respond, to start my response. But,
The allies. What allies are you organizing, even in Israel, to support?
Well, as Canaan Fair Trade, as a company, I guess we are not we're not against this at all. Of course, we support. I love the film Boudreaux, and it's inspiring. And I really think that joining forces together with internationals and with whoever who wants to really fight the injustice of the occupation is wonderful and supported. But what we are actually doing is what we're trying to create is also an alternative to the charity model. And in that, we are creating partnerships. So, for example, people want to buy the olive oil because they want to support the Palestinians. But what we want to do is, part of liberating ourselves from the occupation is also reclaiming who we are. And this is really our focus, which is as we, for example, work towards staying in the land. When I talk about the Trees for Life program, it's not just, oh, let's just plant more trees. Mm. For example, a farmer who's lost so many trees could cannot access water, blah, 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 is being forced to basically abandon the land. And the idea is that the farmer will have no way to to go, nowhere to go except to just leave the land. So by the fact that we are finding markets, that people like you, people like Mary Lou who are working and their coalition to support buying, it's not actually a very simple activity. In fact, it has such a wide impact, because what you are doing when you buy this bottle of oil, you are actually supporting a farmer to stay in the land. Because many of the farmers, for example, in earlier, when the price of olive oil was so low and they had no market for it, they lost a lot of land. Mm-hmm. They were saying, I no longer can work in the land. So mm-hmm. they leave the land. And actually in Israel, Israeli law, they love to see, they're not harvesting the land, so I can take it. So actually many of the farmers that I work with have stayed in their lands despite all these challenges. So, for example, in many of the villages, like I said, they're separated by the wall, and yet they get, for example, if they're lucky, a permit to go harvest their groves, and they go. They're not allowed to take tractors, they're not allowed to take cars, and they carry the olives on their backs and get it to you. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, you know, they of course would love to do that anyway, but they wouldn't be as able to do that if without they didn't purchase. Know that people are buying. But it's not just about buying it just to buy it also, but I think the bottle of oil serves as an activist itself, in the sense that when you choose to buy a bottle of olive oil, you're also choosing to learn about the conflict, to learn about somebody else somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So we are building partners in places actually that are not traditional in the sense of traditional activism. Mm-hmm. But
for example?
Well, I mean, when we partner with, for example, companies in Germany that they're interested in organic food, they're interested in fair trade, we do different things together. That actually builds bridges between us. People from Germany start to come to learn about what's happening with us. And fair trade offers our farmers a platform in these companies, in these communities, to speak about their lives and their stories. And for example, this is actually my job at Canaan, which is to write the stories of the farmers. And a lot of the farmers say, I can't leave Palestine. I can't go to the United States and tell my story, but you can write my story. And so through this, I am getting you to read their stories. And so these are just some of the things that in contextualizing all of this, we don't, in Canaan, we don't participate in direct, for example, action, although we support very much and many of the members of the Palestine Fair Trade Association are involved in these actions because this is their communities and this is what's happening to them.
I want to underscore how important it is for us to protect the land, the farmers' lands, because we have looked at maps from 1948, and increasingly, of course, the occupation is eating up the very land you're talking about. So buying that, you know, that bottle of olive oil.
Well, I can tell you, you know, from my personal experience, my family, we have land, we have olive groves in Beit Jala, where I come from, and the army
is close to Bethlehem.
Yes, very close to Bethlehem. It is kind of part of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. There's one street dividing us, but we're very, you know, particular to say we are from Beit Jala. I grew up in a very agricultural environment. I mean, we're not entirely a village, but we are kind of like a village. And when I grew up, it was all about the olives and all of that. And now my family land has been confiscated because they said, we didn't confiscate it, but we're going to build the wall here. And so you're not allowed to cultivate here. Mm-hmm. And Beit Jala, my town where I grew up, and this was always a place where you find fresh fruit, women from the villages surrounding us will come to sell their produce for us, their cheese, all of that. But these villages are being separated our town, and our town is being strangled by the wall and settlements, that all the land that is agricultural is being built up because there's just no place to grow. And we're really strangled inside. So we've become basically a prisoner community, and we are at the mercy of the prison guard for food, in the sense, because this is an opportunity for Israel to make us a big market for them, because if we can't produce our own food, we are completely dependent.
You're dependent, of course. That's
so I think people can really, of course, participate in boycotting Israeli products, supporting Palestinian products, and really divesting, whether it's in their churches, in their universities. And there has been a lot of, you know, there is no doubt about the impact of divestment and sanctions. Whether it's from the history of what we've seen that happened in South Africa or what's even now happening in Palestine, that there, it actually has quite an impact.
So with one bottle of olive oil, I would just say, I was going to think of people might want to give it to their Congress members with your story. And if you would write up a story as to, or maybe that's going to be when we go to the United Church and purchase olive oil, the stories that go with it, to give alternative gift giving to some of the Congress members. It happens that our local Congress members have been arguing against, as you know, the congressional effort to cut off aid to the Palestinians. But to stand with them, as well as the direct action, as well as the BDS, but to really challenge some of our Congress members. And this would be an important gift and tells a story of the effort to really strangle. And I'm happy you mentioned before, it's both culture and economy.
Absolutely. And actually, I want to say something regarding some important point Mary Lou pointed out, which is that it's true, it's a little bit more expensive than, for example, Italian wine or, olive oil. But our farmers are also very proud to say that they don't want people just to buy it because it's Palestinian, but also because it's a very unique product. Yes. And it is actually, because as I am learning more and more about olive oil since I'm in this business, our farmers still pick by hand. I mean, each olive that is pressed is picked by hand. Yeah. And they also go through rugged terrain to get it, to challenging settlements to get it. And they just do it so carefully, and it is a unique product, you know, if you're interested even in slow food or whatever. So not only do you get to be involved in a socially responsible activity, but you also get a really wonderful and healthy product.
And challenge the occupation.
And challenge the occupation. And speaking of challenging the occupation, since you're very interested in the subject, I want to bring maybe the listeners' attention to a really wonderful step that we have taken in Palestine just in the last few days, about actually 2 days ago, yesterday, and it's with the Freedom Riders in Palestine. And of course, being here in the South today, I think it's a wonderful opportunity to highlight this for me, and also because I've lived in the South before here, and I understand the history of segregation in this area and in this country. And so, inspired by amazing people from the civil rights movement here in the United States, six people in Palestine got on buses. On the 16th, they got on Jewish-only buses that actually connect settlements. They are on roads that connect settlements together, and they were being forced off the buses. And but anyway, people can learn more about it if they just Google Freedom Riders Palestine. But inspired by people like Rosa Park, and they just refused to get off the bus. And the idea was that we also have the right to be on these roads, which are our roads, they are in our territories and they're in our country, and that we also have the right to go to Jerusalem. But it also highlights the whole idea of divestment, which you brought up, because the Egged buses, for example, and Viola, a French company, they profit obviously from occupation, and so divesting from these companies is something that's also very important.
Many of us actually were at the TII at CREF, which is a large, very large investment company for retirees, challenging their investments in those companies that are supporting and are complicit in the occupation of Palestine. Yeah. And those kinds of efforts will continue as well. I'm really glad you mentioned that.
That effort actually is being spearheaded. The TIA CREF effort is being spearheaded by Jewish Voice for Peace.
That's right.
And that's another important point to bring out.
Yeah. If you have your pencils, I just want to say that's JewishVoiceForPeace.org.
Yeah.
So we'll try to go over. I think we should do this.
Actually, a partner of ours. And the olive oil.
Yeah, that's important. So we should go over some of these websites because I know people are going to be anxious to follow up. So all of this comes out of a bottle of olive oil. No, we're good.
We're good, yeah.
Keep going.
I can go on now forever.
Area of resistance that I've been inspired just in the few hours I've had with Vivian is the women. And so I think if you would show the importance of the women's role in the occupation and maintaining some type of continuity and stability for families as much as they can.
And cultural identity.
And cultural identity, yeah, good point.
Well, like I said, we work with 9 women cooperatives, this work has been really important, and I have been really honored to work with the women cooperatives because they are really role models for strength and perseverance and beauty, actually. And I think I shared with Mary Lou that I love our product, the Meftul, and I write about it with a lot of affection because while I was learning how to make it with the women and learning their stories, I like to call it the storyteller. The Meftul is a storyteller because women work in groups and collectives, and they sit there together rolling this Meftul and telling their stories to each other. But women in Palestine have been carrying really the brunt of the conflict in the sense that many of course, as mothers, as daughters, sisters, they have, of course, lost a lot of family members, loved ones, the men. Many men are in political prison. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people have heard in the U.S. about all the stories of the men who have been imprisoned for many years with the whole prisoner exchange. I was very sad to see that in the U.S. mainstream media there was no coverage of all these men who have been imprisoned for 30 and more years, separated from their wives and their loved ones.
Often without charges and certainly no fair trial.
Right. And there was just one focus on this one individual, which, of course, I am for freeing him as well. But it was kind of... But anyway, what I want to say is that under these circumstances and under the circumstances where the men can't find work, because the men who depended on working, for example, in cities inside Israel, for example, can no longer find work. They have to be smuggled into Israel to work. So they go and they're gone for days at a time, months at a time, actually. Mm. It's a very similar today, although, in our own country, to the situation, for example, of Latinos who try to cross the borders through Mexico into the United States. Right. So they have to go into really dangerous situations with people like coyotes who would who would smuggle them in.
Right.
But some of them, for example, come from their own village. They go all the way south to be smuggled into Israel, mm-hmm. and then go all the way north. Mm-hmm. And one worker, I heard this story, he put the money in a rock. That's how close he is to his village, but he's separated by the wall. He puts the money in the rock, and he wraps it on the rock, and he throws it to the rooftop of his neighbors mm-hmm. so that they can give it to his wife. Mm-hmm. But so there's like men are under so much not just pressure, but there's just not a lot of work, and they have to be gone for a long time. So the women are carrying the brunt of having to be strong for the family, having to provide for the family, and having to raise families where, for example, the male figure is gone. I think. And they work both in agriculture. They do all kind. They're just so creative in what they have to do. And I think that the situation of women is, although very, very difficult, also very inspiring. For me, also as a Palestinian woman, I find so much inspiration in these role models that... despite so much suffering, they continue to bring life. There's just so much life and fertility. Mm-hmm. And fertility, I mean, in the sense of giving and abundance and all of that. So the work we're doing with the women actually is very important because we may not be able to offer work all year round. But, for example, the maftul, it makes a big, big difference in their lives because it comes, for example, they roll during the summer, and that's when Ramadan comes at the end of summer, mm-hmm. and also school starts then. Mm. So this little income that the woman make mm-hmm. actually goes a long way because that's when she can support her kid to go to school, mm-hmm. to buy school supplies. That's when she can buy new clothes or whatever they need for the holiday. And you know, the women, when I was leaving, I went to see a group of women cooperative in Anza who do the rolling of the maftul, and they said, we want you to really push the maftul because it makes a big difference for us and we want to work. And they don't want charity. They really want to work.
We have about one minute, but I wanted you to please give the websites again. We're probably not going to be able to give an update maybe next week, except I want to say before we get off that Sunday from 1 to 3, be at Peace and Justice Plaza in Chapel Hill. There's going to be a really very important debate about building the movement, and I think this discussion will come up because this is a worldwide, we are part of a global occupation, Occupy to reverse the occupation.
Occupy Wall Street, not Palestine.
And I'm glad that right. you mentioned the Latinos because that's exactly what happened. Starved on their land and then forced, you know, to leave their
families.
Yes,
and then they have to come to California as if they're right. illegal in their own.
You gave some websites and Mary Lou.
Our website is CanaanFairTrade.com, which is CanaanFairTrade.com. Fairtrade.com. And when people want to order in the U.S., we have a U.S. website. It's CanaanUSA.com. So it's CanaanFairTrade.com and CanaanUSA.com.
And for
locally here, you can buy them all the products this in the next few days. We have this tasting tonight. We have the Alternative Gift Fair on the 19th and 20th. And the details for all of that is on the Coalition website, and that's Coalition for Peace with Justice.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Don't forget to look at Triangle Wilf. You can get this whole broadcast on a CD and share with friends.
Right. TriangleWILPF.org, and of course the station website WCOMFM.org.
Let me give one more website. If you haven't gotten on OccupyChapelHill.org, or OccupyTogether.org, which will give you the whole nationwide protest mm-hmm. against the what's happening in our government and who's taking it over and the foreign policy. And, I mean, just the recent stuff going on in Congress is really chilling. But, again, it's OccupyChapelHill.org or OccupyTogether.org.
Okay, thank you very much.